God bless your church. It's a blessing to be here this night. Let's give God some praise. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. Amen. No matter what you went through to get here, it's a blessing to be here. Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name. But only trust. But wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak made strong, and my Savior's love through the storm. Darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in my Savior. To be in your grace and your presence once more, Lord God. Lord, we don't take for granted, Lord, just being in your house, Lord, giving you worship, Lord God. There's many places that we can be, Lord God, but we choose, Lord, we want, Lord, we need to be here, Lord God, to give you glory, Lord God. No matter what we face today, Lord God, whether it's been a great day or a trial, Lord God, we know even through the test, Lord, you will give us a testimony, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we pray for the word that's going to go forth, Lord God. We pray that you give the pastor, Lord, just encouragement, Lord, and just be able to get itself out the way, Lord Jesus, to give us the word, Lord God. We know the word is you, Lord Jesus. So we appreciate you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will sing how great is our God. How great is our God.
Pray your blessings upon those that are not able to join us tonight but may join us online. I ask that you just minister to them right where they are. God, those that may still be on the way, give traveling mercies to them as well. May you get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise from our gathering. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. In the house of the Lord. Ask that you would turn your Bible with me to the book of 1 Samuel. Amen. The Lord is good. Amen. Book of 1 Samuel. We'll just read a few verses here out of chapter 3 again. It says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. It came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I call not, lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I call not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. We'll stop our reading there. One of the beautiful things about this passage of scripture is that Samuel did have somebody in his life that could help identify what was happening to him. And it's very, very important that we have people in our lives that can identify when God is dealing with us and can speak into that, right? They can share their own personal testimonies with you, and if you're listening, then you can sometimes just get clarity on what God is actually calling of you. So good that he had a person like this in his life that could do that. I want to go in a little different direction. We've been talking about dreams and visions and how a dream, if it's correctly interpreted, it's a vision. We've been talking along those lines, but I want to just kind of go in a different direction tonight, and I'll go as far as I can. There is something in my spirit that I am trying to get to, but I want to take my time to get there. So just bear with me. The quote that I'll read tonight may be a little lengthy, but by the grace of God, we'll glean from it. Here is a sermon Brother Branham ministers on. It's titled "The Voice of God in This Last Days." And he says, "Oh, that would be enough text that we could speak on here for a month, and we could draw much context from this glorious text. But this morning, we just have about 20 minutes to get out in proper time." It says, I guess the Sunday school is over, or maybe it follows this, I don't know. But however, I want to use the text of the voice of God in this last days. It's a very outstanding time. We realize that we're speaking from the scriptures that it said, and he's referring back to 1 Samuel 3. So as we're speaking from the scriptures that it said, there was no open vision in the days of Samuel. It says, therefore, where there's no vision, now he's bringing in another scripture, where there's no vision, the Bible said, the people perish. Oh, my. I can tell you right now, because we have the ability to look through a prophetic lens, We are preaching an open book. From Genesis to Revelation, this entire book has been open. There's not one thing in here. A friend of mine asked me, like, well, when you go, you know, overseas and you preach, well, what do you preach? I say, anything the Lord put in my heart out of the Bible, I can preach. Because we have an open book. You know, we're not sitting here where if the Lord put a scripture out of the book of Revelation, I can go right in there and preach it. And you know, the beautiful thing is that people there would be able to identify with what I'm saying. Right? A minister could come here, never been here one time, but he can open up that Bible anywhere and we'd be able to say amen to it. Right? Because we got an open vision, an open book, you know, that's been given to us. It says, where there was no vision in the days of Samuel, therefore where there's no vision, the Bible said, the people perish. We must have a vision. Now watch this. Now we must have a vision, and visions comes to the prophets. and it's the word of the Lord spoken to them. Amen. That's why I always say that, you know, there's we can go and get different theologians and try to figure out what they got to say, you know, about a particular scripture. But I like to go back and see what a prophet got to say about it. That's what settles my heart, because I know God has already vindicated what a prophet said. Now it says this, it says, we find out that Eli was not a prophet. Eli was a priest. Amen. And he was getting old and his eyes were going dim, and he could not see to get around, was a great heavy man. And he had begun to let the work of the Lord go undone. Now, I'm going to read a little bit more, but that statement right there captures my attention. The man Eli began to let the work of the Lord go undone. I'm going to repeat that again. This man, Eli, began to let the work of the Lord go undone. Let me keep reading. I'll come back to that statement. It says, and that's something like it is of today. I think the church, the organization, and denominations, they've been on the field for a long time, and they're beginning getting laxed. Now he's talking about the denominations, and he's talking about the organizations, but let's not leave our thoughts over in organization and denomination, because right here in the message, the people of God are allowing they're getting too relaxed.
Right.
And let me just beat myself to the punch. It's always God's work that suffers first. Amen. Right? And so we put everything ahead of the work of the Lord. Everything goes ahead of the work of the Lord. Vacation go ahead of the work of the Lord. Family time go ahead of the work of the Lord. Right? I mean, we put so many things ahead of the work of the Lord, and it should never be that way. God's work should always be first. Amen. The rest of my schedule is planned around what's happening with the Lord's work. Amen. I mean, I said, there used to be a time when we worked, we got our first jobs. First thing, we went in there and told them, I don't work on Sunday. And we would say, don't work on Wednesday night. Friday is three nights. 4 days out the week, you got me. And actually, I'll work Wednesday, just not Wednesday night. I work Friday, just not Friday night. We knew we had three services a week. And you know, for us, it wasn't even a matter of praying about it. If they came to us and said, well, you know, I can do this, I can do that, we knew right then this was not the will of God, and we were moving on and going, wait for God to give us another job. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, because we took stands like that as young people, God blessed us with good work. Good work. We weren't even married and already had benefits on our job. Right? All us working out at Pratt Whitney. Taking care of the whole family. Right? I mean, we had good jobs. Praise the Lord. I didn't know what it meant to flip a burger. I'm being honest. I didn't know what that meant because the Lord had blessed me with really, really good jobs. We put God first. The work of the Lord always came first. People got to get back to that type of attitude. And here's the other thing. Can I put it this way? You're not working for Brother Jack. Anybody that say, well, Brother Jack, say this, and you do, no, they got the wrong revelation. Anytime they put my name in it, I ain't call you to none of this. God called you to this. Amen? Hallelujah. You just work with me. Oh, Lord. I'm going in places that I didn't plan on going. How many of y'all, when you gone be off your normal job, your natural job, how many of y'all do not call your boss to let him know or not let him know in advance that you're not coming in? Nobody. But why is it that pastors sometimes have no idea, praise the Lord, whether you're coming or not, or not coming? A simple text would say, well, I'm not going to be there. And I don't get into your business. But it's just proper to do these things. I don't, well, why you ain't coming? Why? What's the matter with you? Oh, you backslid. I don't do none of that. It's just a courtesy. So, hey, I'm not going to be there. Praise the Lord. I won't be there tonight. Amen. Amen. We don't want the work of the Lord to go undone. Yeah. All right, let us keep going. Now, if you text me all the time saying I ain't going to be there, I'm going to say I'd like to meet with you. Amen? Amen. You ain't showing up for work. We all got work to do now. It's not just me preparing, but it's you pulling. I mean, the whole service on Sunday changed because the people was in here pulling. Right? I mean, you have a lot to do with the service. Amen. Praise God. Well, I just ain't had the right attitude. Every week you ain't got the right attitude. Amen. What can we do to get this fixed? All right, let me keep going. All right, so he says this. I think the church organization, denominations, they've been on the field for a long time and they're beginning to get lax and and the work of the Lord is left undone, the word of truth. Because the church in itself has become dim-sighted. And we need today the voice of God to speak among us, bring us back. It says, and see, Eli had laid down, and his eyesight was failing. He was a priest, and they had no open vision from the Lord and that great need. So here the prophet says, and God had promised to meet the need of the hour. He always does that. And we need the voice of God today to meet the need of the hour, to meet the time that we're living in. And after he has promised it, we can rest assured that he will keep his promise. That's the confidence that the believer has in his maker, that he promised to meet the need. That's the confidence that the believer has in his maker, that God promised to meet the need. He says, and today one reason that the church is in the condition that it's in is because there is so many voices, so many other voices to attract the church from the voice of God. Now, this is an important statement as well. I don't know if I'll get to this tonight, but I'm going to kind of come back to that one as well. There's so many other voices to attract the church from the voice of God. Okay? It says, till it's very doubtful. It's very doubtful that many would hear the voice of God. I mean, many would hear the voice of God, though it spoke right in their midst. It's doubtful that people would even hear the voice of God, though it spoke right in their midst. I mean, God come and say, thus saith the Lord. And you wonder, is that God or not? What else does God have to do to get our attention, right? But we got so many other voices that we're listening to that it's hard for us to hear the voice of God. And I'm going to tell you, the most important voice you'll ever hear on this earth is the voice of God. It says this, they perhaps wouldn't even understand it because it would be a foreign thing to them. Lord, I don't want your voice to ever become foreign to me. I never want the voice of God to become foreign to me. If you ever spoke to someone that didn't speak your language, the conversation don't last very long. And you never want to be that way with God. He says they've got themselves so much centered on the voices of the day. Now, there's more that I could read there, but I wanted to kind of go back. This statement that he made, he had began to let the work of the Lord go undone. This is what Eli did. And I'm afraid, I think that's really coming to the church. And there's a scripture I remember when I was young, they used to talk about this scripture all the time. And Brother Mike, when he was here with us, he used to refer to this scripture a lot. And I want to read it for you all. It's a scripture that we don't read too much. And if I told you to turn in this book in your Bible, it might take you a little time to get there. But it's the book of Haggai. Haggai. It's only two chapters in the book of Haggai. But we want to read chapter 1. I want to encourage us, let us be concerned about the work of the Lord. Let us be concerned about God's business. Sometimes we're very concerned about our business, the business that the Lord blessed us with, but we're not able to balance our business with God's business. And remember, the work of the Lord has got to be the most important. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. 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 Here in the book of Haggai, first chapter, it says, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the Lord, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. And he's saying, thus saith the Lord, this is what the people say. Now, you got to understand, if the people are feeling that the time has not come for the Lord's house to be built, then they won't be concerned about anything that's related to the Lord's house being built. They're not underneath the concern that God has. They're not in the same channel that he's in, right? So here, a prophet is speaking. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? It says, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And I think this is important. You got a real nice home. Remember how you prayed and God opened up a door supernaturally? You got that house and now you done dressed it up and you just enjoying yourself. But when somebody says something about the work of the Lord, now this is important. Mm-hmm. Now, and here we are at a school, but we gonna go into a church.
Yeah.
Work gonna need to be done at the church. Let me just go a little further. Yeah. Who gonna take care of the lawn? Y'all expect me to do it. I think that's what the church, Brother Jack ain't working. He can do the lawn. He can do the bathrooms. Amen. Right? He can, Brother Jack can do it all. No, you can't put it all on me. You'll kill me. And then you want me to preach. Come on. Right? Do everything and then preach. Preach us happy, Pastor. You can't do that to me.
Right. Amen. We all got to share the load together.
Yeah.
And then when you get, you know, and we all got this, you know, I might as well just stay here now. I told you, I just wanted to dwell here just for a little bit tonight. But you know, we all got this mentality that somebody else can do it. No, you can do it. You can do it. Don't put it off on anybody else when you got the ability to get up and do the thing yourself. The property going to have to be taken care of. When the light bulbs go out, somebody got to change it. The bathrooms have to be cleaned. I was at Brother Bernard's church this weekend, and I noticed something. I said, man, this was top notch. But I went to use the restroom, and there was a brother in the bathroom in the middle of the service mopping the floor to make sure that the bathroom was nice and tidy for people to come in. He was taking care of it right during the middle of the service. That's top notch, right? I mean, and you know, but most of them, I ain't doing that. I'm walking away from that. No, that ain't my job. No, who gonna do it?
Right, right. Amen. That's
it. Church got to be dusted. Vacuum clean. I mean, we all these things need to be happening inside the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Before we came here, the sisters had a rotation. Y'all sisters remember that? And people would take turns taking care of things in the house of the Lord. Now, don't think we got away from that. That list going to come right back on out. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You need to show up for work. Don't be dodging church on the night that you scheduled. Hello, somebody. No, don't put my name on the list because I just ain't going to do it. Okay, what part you going to do around here? Amen.
Yeah.
Even in your own house, your children have to do something to live there.
Amen. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Oh, Jesus. Amen. We talk about the work of the Lord. Don't let the work of the Lord go undone. Let me keep reading. Says verse 5, it says, now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but you have not enough. What is that? I mean, folk will work overtime. They get the mouth, but they'll work them out. They'll work the mouths. It might hurt the work of the Lord, but they're gonna get the mouths, and that bank account gonna get real fat. I want you to keep reading this scripture. Watch what happens here when you forsake the work of the Lord. Watch this. You have so much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Now, if y'all don't understand what that scripture means, I'm going to put it in layman's terms for you. You make all that extra money, and as soon as you make it, especially if you own a house, as soon as you make the extra money, washer goes out. Dryer goes out. Refrigerator goes out. Roof begin to leak. I mean, stuff just coming out of nowhere. You get into your car, there is a check engine. Check engine light. And you're like, what else is going? This is your bag with holes. Your bag with holes. Put the work of the Lord first. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. You looked for much, but lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, ooh, Lord. When you got it, you got it home. Ooh, yeah. Boy, look at my count. And what happens? God said, I did blow upon it. And this all happens when we forsake the work of the Lord. Now, when we're doing what God has called us to do, there are blessings that overtake us, and we walk in the overflow. But when you get to the overflow, you got to remember how you got there. And you got to keep doing what you were doing. Keep serving God faithfully. Amen. Just because you're in the overflow don't mean vacation every week. When you come into church. Amen. When you plan on coming to church? Pastor, I'm going to be way here. And Pastor, I'm going to be what? I don't mind. I think everybody needs to do vacation. But the way you plan your vacations, keep God involved. Now, I know some folk that go on vacation and they actually go to church. Amen. We saw two sisters do that on Sunday. Yes, sir. They went on a cruise, I believe a 5 or 7 day cruise, but as soon as they got back to port, they said, we want to go to church. Now, a lot of our saints, am I talking to the church tonight? Amen. A lot of our saints, boy, pockets full. Boy, going on vacation, and no, ain't even a plan. It was never even part of the plan to go to church. Never even included. We never had any thought about going to church. You want to know why I'm not going to church? Because I'm on vacation. And let me ask you something. What if your God decided when you needed him that he would just say to you, I'm on vacation. We got the Bible say, consider your ways. Yeah. And I think it's a good time for us tonight to consider our ways. Amen. The more God do for us, the more we ought to want to do for God. Amen. Amen. Keep God in the middle of everything you do. Don't ever get to the point where you get tired of doing what you're supposed to be doing. Amen. Now, there's sometimes that you might get kind of caught in a jam where you can't go to church. Then streaming is fine. But don't make streaming your first option.
Right. Amen.
Oh, my. Because you know, you're streaming, but you really ain't streaming. Right. You're streaming and vacationing at the same time. And it's hard for God to get your attention when you're doing both of them.
Yes,
right.
True.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. No, I mean, let's consider our ways. Here I'm at verse 9 again. You look for much, and lo, it came to little. When you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil, upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men and upon cattle, upon all the labor of the hands. Now, that scripture we read out of Deuteronomy, all these things are right in there. When we don't put God first, then these things are cursed. But if you want it to be blessed, you got to put God first. And I believe the scripture tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. And then the Bible says everything else will be added to you. God will give you vacation time. But again, put him first on your vacation now. I'm trying to get to a city where ain't no churches. What? No, don't. God is the one blessing you with the money. He gave you the job. He did all this, and you just going to forsake him? What's two or three hours on your vacation of church going to do?
Right.
What is that going to do? Why can't you just include God in the plans?
Right. Amen.
Does that hurt to include God in the plans? No, you ought to be, what do you know of any church in this area? I'm going over to such and such. Do you know any church in this area that I can attend? Amen. And you don't even have to be, now what kind of church is it? Because, if they're not preaching the word, then I got to be. You a lot more mature than to have to worry about that. If people have bones, you put bones to the side and you just eat the meat. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's time for us to consider our ways. All right, keep on reading. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the Lord, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai, the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the Lord did, and the people did fear before the Lord. So here they heard this, and they began to obey exactly what they heard. Remember, I start off by saying the voice of God could come into our midst because we're so confused with so many other voices, we never know that the voice of God was speaking to us. We never know. But here in the scripture, Zerubbabel recognized and Joshua recognized this is the voice of God to us from the prophet Haggai, right? They said, this is the voice of the Lord. We're going to mend our ways. We're going to consider our ways, and we're going to change some things. I pray that same approach would happen tonight. Somebody said, I need to mend my ways. I need to consider what I'm doing and change some things that I'm doing.
Amen.
Amen. I know saints, trying to think who this was recently. They were on a cruise, 7-day cruise, and the cruise went over a Sunday. Sometimes you might get a cruise that goes Tuesday to Tuesday or something like that. So it's, goes over a Sunday. And I can't remember who this was, but they said they heard that they were gonna have a church service at the chapel on the boat. You know what they did? They actually got themselves dressed and they went to church. Now, hello, wait, stop. Because I know folk that are dressed up to go to that dinner on the boat. To take them nice pictures. But are you taking your church clothes with you? But this brother said they heard that there's going to be a church service on the boat, and they went down there and found that chapel. And they walked right on in to the church and say, I think it was only one or two other people in that church. And the man was sitting there, like, he didn't think nobody was going to come, because typically, nobody does come. There's saints on the boat now. But for them, they're not on the boat for church. They're on the boat for vacation. He said they sit down there with his family, and the man didn't expect nobody. So he said, well, go ahead and have the service that you normally have. We here now, and we're not going back, so just go ahead and have the service. And I think the man pulled up some scripture and just started reading it, and he said, okay, that's all right. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you. Happy to be here in church. At least you got something.
Yes, sir.
And you find all the other activities on that boat. Find the one about church. What a great testimony that would speak if people see you walking down the hall. They dress, the way they dress on the boat. But here you come down on a Sunday headed to church. Lord knows that'll speak volumes. Let me put it this way. You would be a billboard for God.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I tell you the truth, boy. I'm just reading the Bible. I'm just reading the Bible. Verse 12 again. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, the words of Haggai, the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. So when their hearts got stirred up, they began to get to work physically on the house of the Lord. But sometimes, amen, spiritually is where we need to concentrate. And remember, this is not for Brother Jack. This is for Almighty God. He's called you to this, amen. And he's the one that's going to reward you for your work. Let me keep on reading here out of the voice of God in the last days. It says, if we notice in our scripture reading that the voice of God was foreign to them, and it's become that way again, that the voice of God, there are so many other voices, and then if God promised he would give us that, and if other voices are contrary to the voice of God, then it must be the voice of our enemy. The voice of our enemy is there to confuse us, that we would not understand the voice of God when it spoke. It says, and we notice it was something similar to that with Eli and with Samuel, but Eli recognized right away that it was God. So it's something similar. I mean, Samuel had no idea, what I hear a voice calling me, what's going on? You know, and he kept coming back to Eli, I said, no, it's not me calling you. And finally, Eli recognized, wait a minute, this is the voice of God calling to Eli. I mean, calling to Samuel. Eli recognized the voice of God. And here's the other thing, a beautiful thing. God was calling Samuel at a very young age. Can I put it this way? Samuel was very immature when God began to call him. I'm going to tell you something. Samuel's going to have to grow into his ministry. Another thing about Samuel, we'll get to it later on in scripture, but we realize later on that Samuel, when he had children, because Samuel wasn't married at this time, right? But when Samuel had children, for some reason, I don't know what them boys saw in their daddy, but them boys could not be the same. They weren't the same caliber of their father. Right. Amen. They couldn't be as faithful as daddy. I don't know what it is that they saw in their dad, but they were not as faithful as their father. Right. So you want to make sure that you got a balance, that you know, you're also making an impact, not just in the church, but you're making an impact in your own family. Right. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 All right. Oh, Lord, help me. It says this. And we noticed that it was something similar to that with Eli and with Samuel, but Eli recognized right away that it was God. And it was absolutely a blasphemy on Eli because the voice of God speaking to Samuel had told him about Eli's wrongdoings. For he had babied his sons, and they was taking money and the flesh from the offering that was not right, and they were doing things wrong contrary to God's word. And you know, one of the other things that they were doing is they was running from sister to sister to sister in the church. And the daddy never corrected them. I don't have any sons. Don't have any sons, but Lord knows if I had had any boys, that would not have happened. And I know preachers that let their boys just kind of go from sister to sister to sister, and they're still up there playing the music and preaching and everything else. Mm-mm. Son, you can't live right? You can't do nothing here. You can't do nothing here if you can't live right. I don't care how anointed you are, how much of a gift you have. If you can't live right, you can't do nothing here. Amen. Praise God. That go for me too. If I can't live right, I shouldn't be up here teaching nothing. I shouldn't be up here preaching nothing if I can't live right. We gotta have a standard. If we don't have a standard, they say if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So we gotta stand for something, church. Praise God. And if God forbid something happened to me, y'all be the first ones. And the pastor, you the one said. And that's why I have to watch the way I live. Daily watch the way I live. Amen. All right, let me keep going. I don't want to bring reproach on the cause of Christ. I don't want to bring reproach on this church. You know, everything I do represent you all. Somebody say, your pastor, it's the first thing they're going to tell you. I don't want to do that to you. No, I want to do things that'll make you happy to be a part of the church. And what you think happened when you do stuff and somebody come back to me? You're so-and-so. Oh, Lord. Amen. We all got to live right. Okay. It says, and notice, okay, paragraph. And Samuel had, only thing Samuel could do was speak exactly, and he was a little reluctant to do so because it was against the very place that he was sent to be raised up in, Eli and in the temple. But Eli said, speak on. So, and he told him exactly what was going to happen. Eli's day was finished as a priest because God had spoke and God was sending his message through Samuel the prophet. And I like the way Brother Branham put this, very odd birth. Now you're talking about Samuel had a very odd birth. And we went, you know, we go back to that. Remember, Samuel's mother was barren and could not have children. But she went to church one day and she had a burden, you know, in her heart about wanting to, you know, bring forth a child. And as she was there talking to the Lord, Eli thought she was talking something crazy. And she's like, no, I'm just asking God to take my reproach away. I'm not drunk. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm just asking God to take my reproach away. And he told her, you can have what you prayed for. Spoke that over her. And within, by the time the next year come, when they were to come back to church, she had already had her first child. And she had Samuel, but and when she gave birth to Samuel, after she weaned him, then she dedicated him to the service of the Lord, and he'd been serving God ever since that time. What a beautiful story, you know, about his odd birth. But we also know Brother Branham had a very odd birth too, right? But these prophets, there's something about these prophets with these odd births, and there's something about this. Let me just keep reading. Very odd birth, dedicated to the Lord from a child. God spoke to him as a child and was preparing him for a work that laid ahead, and Eli's time was finishing up. It says, there are so many voices in the earth today that it's absolutely a hard thing because it deadens the voice of the supernatural. When we listen to all the other voices, then it's hard for us to hear the voice of the supernatural. It deadens the voice of the supernatural. There are so many intellectual voices, great voices of mighty men who are intellectual. I'm going to say a lot. I'm going to say something here. All right. So oftentimes, like for myself, people would send me sermons, and I really don't have the time to listen to everybody's sermon. I just don't have the time. And the other thing that I found is that if I'm listening to somebody else's sermon, oftentimes I'm catching that other man's spirit. I don't want to do that either, right? So for me, what I need to do is listen to what the prophet said. And I give most of my time to listen to what the prophet said. And sometimes I catch a sermon here, sometimes I catch one there. But I don't have that much time where I can listen to them all. I just can't do it. And I'm not telling you don't do it. You might have the time, so you can go ahead and do it. But I can't listen to everybody. And the other thing, sometimes I'll never really catch it the way that you might be catching it. Because God's speaking to you for a very specific thing. Amen. I had a friend of mine. He was sending me so many messages of Miles Monroe. I say, and tell me what you think about it. That's a I hate to say that. When people tell you that, it's almost a setup. Yeah. Now you have to go into the message listening with a different type of ear, mm-hmm. right? Because now I got to give critique. And I don't want to do that. And when I listen to the prophet, I ain't got to give no critique. I'm eating.
Amen.
Right? I'm getting my spirit man fed. But when I have to go through and critique something, now I'm listening with a totally different ear. And I don't want to, I know brothers that have built their ministries on tearing other ministries down. I don't want to be that type of preacher. I have to guard myself. Right, but one time I said, okay, let me just listen to a little bit of it. I think I got through about 10 minutes of the man's sermon, and he said this and he said that, and he pulled in the scripture from Revelation over here. I'm like, oh Lord, no, that don't connect at all. And I'm like, this in order to prove his point, he just misapplying the scripture, and I had to give the man just a little feedback, but he didn't want that. He wanted me to check out another one. I ain't checking out no more. I'm done. I'm done. Amen. That go for a lot of them. I don't listen to T.D. Jakes. I don't listen to Joel Osteen. I don't listen to Tony Evans. I used to on the radio, you know, but I just don't have that kind of time. I'm sorry. I trust a source. And I don't never have to worry about what's coming out of this source. I ain't got to critique nothing. It's fresh water from a fresh well. And that's coming from God's prophet. So I just give my time to that. Amen. Listen, I started this lesson off by saying, see, the voice of God was, there was no open vision that they had. We do have an open vision. So with an open vision, I'm just not out there looking for anything. Amen. I'm looking for food that's going to feed the bride.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Feed me and the bride, because I need to eat too. Amen. I got a little bit more to read. Lord, help me, Jesus. Let me try to, I'm out of time, y'all. I'm out of time. Hold on here 1 second. It's okay because it's leading me to something that I need to say, and I can't, I'm gonna say it, but not dig into it tonight. Where did I stop at? Right there. Okay, let me put a little marker right here. He talked about these intellectual voices. And we've had a lot of that today, a lot of intellectual voices. That's why people have left the message, because of intellectual voices. The intellectual voices will make you say things like this. That was just Brother Branham's opinion. That's where I want to go to. But I can't get there tonight. Intellectual voices will make you say that was just Brother Branham's opinion. I'll be back. I'll be back. Yeah, we're gonna look at that. Let's pray. Father, we are appreciative of the word of the Lord tonight. As we read there in the book of Haggai, we have to consider our ways. And Lord, there are areas in our life that we got to put you first in. We have to realign our priorities. We have to, Lord, reflect and think, who is this for? God, we would think about it for a little bit, we'll realize that this is all about you. It's all for you, Jesus. When I stand behind this sacred desk, I'm doing this because of you. When I come to sit in one of the seats to hear the word of the Lord, it's simply because of you. If I sit behind an instrument, it's because of you. If I come to sing a special, it's because of you. When I sit behind the audio and the visual elements of the service, it's because of what you have done in my life that I'm able to do this for you. So Lord, help us to just think on our ways. Help us to consider, Lord, our commitment. And if we are slacking, I pray tonight would be a night that we would set a stake down, that we would recommit, and we'd be dedicated to the things of God. Father, we give you the praise, we give you the honor, we give you the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let me get tonight's announcements. Sunday morning, we'll be having prayer from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Service will start at 10:30 a.m. Brothers, usually I am here to try to get the music going, but this Sunday I'll be missing because I have to go to a wedding. Some of you all know Brother Trevor Eamon, a dear friend of mine, his son Zion is getting married on Saturday in Indianapolis, and I'll be attending the wedding. Very proud of the young man. Done already bought his first house, and bringing his wife to his to their first house. Yes, Lord have mercy, young man. I like to see our young men strive, have ambition, you know. But this young man, the Lord has really blessed him. So I'll be there this weekend for that wedding. And if there's any brother that can be here at 9 to get the music going, that would be great. And then also from 9:30 to 10, we'll have our Sunday school, and service will start at 10:30 a.m. on this Sunday. And sometimes when I announce that I won't be here, sometimes people feel like that's a time to take off, and I'm asking you, please don't do that just because I'm not around. I'm asking to be faithful. Consider your ways. Amen. Consider your ways. The church is not built on Brother Jack. Amen. We got very capable ministers here that can bring us food in due season. Amen. So let us come and support the ministry. I know you'll be blessed. Actually, this Sunday, Brother Troy will be speaking for us. So you all keep him in prayer, that God would just use him. Amen. And remember, I told you at Easter time he'll be going out to minister. So oftentimes the minister depends on the people pulling on the word of God to kind of help him shape his sermons. Right, so we all need you. We all need you. So don't forget that on Sunday, service will start at 10:30. The streaming is through our Facebook page as well as our church website, john423.org. And there's a youth service coming up on Friday, April 11th. Now, for my young people, I don't know who got specials, But if I could have you all do me a favor, those that have specials for the youth service, I want you to let Brother Marquise know that you have a special. I want you to go to him and say, Brother Marquise, I got a special. And Brother Marquise is going to be doing song service on that night, so he's going to handle the specials. Now, do me a favor, don't surprise Brother Marquise on February 11th. April 11th, don't surprise him that night. Tell him now that you have a special so he can shape his song service accordingly. And now, if Brother Marquise don't have nobody on his list, then what'll happen on the night of April 11th, Brother Marquise is just gonna call some of y'all off guard and we'll have some specials. Amen? So let Brother Marquise know early that I got a song in my heart, Brother Marquise, and I'll be singing on that night, Friday, April 11th at 7:30 p.m. So that's the youth service. And don't forget, communion and feet washing. We'll have that on Wednesday, April 16th at 7:30. And then we'll also have a Good Friday service on April 18th. Here at the church, that's a Friday night for the Good Friday service. And we have our meetings that are coming up. I've just got a verbal okay from Brother Gene to start having our rehearsal times for the South Florida choir. So I'll be communicating with the other pastors and we'll let you all know when the rehearsals are that we'll start rehearsing for our meetings there in July. So looking forward to a night of worship with the South Florida Choir and trusting God to just meet us in a very special way. So keep that in mind. All right, our giving is through Zelle, PayPal, and Cash App. That's online methods. Preferred is Zelle because they don't take any fees. But if you have to use PayPal or Cash App, we do understand. Zelle and PayPal, the address is giving at john423.org. Cash App is $Spirit and Truth T. Our mailing address is there on the bottom of the screen for those that would like to mail in an offering to the church. We again thank you for your giving. It's only through your giving that we can continue to do what we are doing, amen, for the kingdom of God, amen. Before we would prepare to leave tonight, do we have any that would like to share a testimony or a prayer request tonight? I got one hand, I got two hands, I got three hands, four hands, all right, five hands. Anybody else? Okay. Brother Joseph was the first with his hand up here.
God bless you.
Is it on?
God bless you. God bless you.
Hold on one second. Pink. It's the same, what you call it, as me.
God bless you. Just a prayer request. My neighbor's granddaughter, she is currently in middle school and she goes through a lot every day in that school. She's always getting like bullied and stuff, and her grades are slipping because of this, because she can't like focus in school, and she wants to go to homeschooling, but the parents aren't sure that they can do it. So just keep her in prayer.
Okay.
God bless you, saints. I have a little testimony. Back in February, I shared a quote with the brothers. There was a lady, she had a dream that Satan came up next to her bed, and he was telling her, I got you, and different things like that, and she got up and started rebuking him and everything like that. She went to the prophet. and told him about the dream, and Brother Branham didn't have the interpretation. And then a few days, then she told Brother Branham about a time when her husband had a heart attack and the death was coming to take him. And she jumped down and she said, in the name of Jesus Christ, she rebuked it, and her husband was fine. So Brother Branham said, that's the interpretation right there. Well, my wife had a dream, I want to say last week or the week before, that I had a heart attack. And she said, as I was on the ground, I looked at her, and the look that she saw was, help me. And she reached down and she touched me, and I was fine. Well, last week, on Wednesday of last week, after I dropped Hadassah off at work, there was a spirit that came on me, and it was very depressing, something I never felt before in my life. And it was trying to get me to quit, give up on this message, to kill myself, different things like that. And I was trying to talk to the Lord, and I'm saying, Lord, these are not my thoughts. I know these are not my thoughts. When I try and pray, I couldn't pray. Tried to sing songs, and every song, it seemed like it was condemning. Like, you know, I hear God is so good. Is he good? He letting you go through this? And I'm just battling in my mind. So I started praying, Lord, I can't even encourage myself right now. I need encouragement from somewhere. And right after I prayed, that Brother Jack put a quote in the brother's chat where Brother Branham said, you know, I go through these times when I get depressed and I tell my wife I just want to go, and she said, Bill, but why? And God said, oh, you trying to shirk your duty? So that sort of encouraged me a little bit, but it was still on me heavy. And we had service that night. I came to service and I was in a dump, a real bad spot. And when I get to service waiting to just hear a word from the Lord, then Brother Mark came out and said, Brother Jack, I want you to sing. So I had to get up and sing, and I'm all depressed, trying to get the people to worship the Lord. And I was listening to the message, Seven Compound Names of Jehovah, and I couldn't get anything from it but Jehovah Shammah. God is present. So that's when I started out, Jehovah is your name, and all these different things. And I was still trying to encourage myself, and Brother Chikosi, he preached and it helped. But that presence never left me. All the way to Saturday, I was still feeling that way. And I had a wedding over in Tampa, and I was going to go by myself, but my wife, she said she would go with me. And she was driving, and she said, Solomon, what's wrong with you? I said, ain't nothing wrong with me. She said, something's wrong with you. I've been married to you almost 20 years. Something wrong with you. So I began to tell her what was going on. She put her hands over and touched me. And I can't remember what she said. She spoke something, and immediately it left. Right after that, I started thinking about the dream that she had, and it took me back to that quote that I sent the brothers way back in February, that this was the interpretation to that dream. And I just wanted to thank the Lord that he had already forewarned us that this was coming, and that the answer was already there.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank God. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Go ahead, brother.
God bless you, church. Just want to give a testimony. The brother's prayer that we have every other Tuesday. For a long time in my heart, I would just have, okay, I'm gonna get on, and then right before, it's funny. It's right before, just be like, you get down when you pray anyway, you know. It's just, who are you to pray? Just hearing that, and I would hear that, and it would discourage me, you know. Even though I had a heart to get on the line and pray, I just Just want to thank God, because yesterday, actually, we had Brothers Prayer. And yesterday, I was in another city, and right before the end of my day, I had a real tough day. It was a good day, but it was tough. I actually lost my phone in the truck. And I used my phone for Brothers Prayer. And it was in one of the bags. And where we have bags, it's a bunch of clothes, like a bunch of dirty clothes. It's maybe, I mean, over 1,000 pair of clothes in these bags. And usually when something like that happens, the first thing you do is freak, oh, my phone. And I was just calm. And I was like, and in my head, I was like, okay, Brothers Prayer tonight, so I got some time. I can find my phone. So I just kept walking, and I asked my brother to call it for me, and I heard the bag ringing where my phone was, so I didn't have to search through every bag, pull every single bag down. You know, the first thing I was like, I'm getting on this Brother Prayer, even if I had to go to AT&T and buy me another phone. Might not be no contacts on there, but I'll be able to get on this phone.
Oh, my.
So, I don't know who to be an encouragement to, but man, the devil is the liar.
Amen.
And prayer is needed.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Sister.
God bless you.
God bless you.
I have a testimony. As you know, I've been problem with lung problems and everything. Excuse me. I've been going back and forth to the doctors. And I've had 3 scans of different scans and all of that. So I went to the doctor Tuesday, and she walked in, and she had the biggest smile on her face, and she says, I have the good news for you. She said, all of your scans came back remarkable. Amen. There's nothing wrong with your lungs, nothing wrong with your sinuses. You're fine.
Amen.
So immediately I just said, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And she smiled, and I just started clapping my hands, and she started clapping her hands.
Thank you, Lord.
And I just declare that my body is healed.
Amen.
Regardless of how my voice sounds.
Amen.
Regardless of the coughing or whatever you hear.
You,
whenever you hear it, just say to yourself, she's healed.
Amen.
Amen.
To give a praise report of what I witnessed. A couple years ago, I did a 50th wedding anniversary for a couple that had been married, and I found out that they knew Sister Brown. So I said, oh, okay, but I didn't really know how. And so this year, last week, they'd asked me to do their pastor's anniversary. So I did, and I knew that Sister Brown was invited, because she told me, yeah, I'd known them for a long time. But come to find out, Sister Brown was one of the guest speakers at this pastor's appreciation. And she gave her testimony of how 50 years ago she witnessed to the wife and led the wife to Christ. The wife witnessed to her husband, and 3 months later, he also became saved. And he's a pastor, bishop of a church. The wife's a missionary. And they've been serving the Lord all that time. And I was just so, it was something to witness, to hear her give a testimony on how she witnessed to this couple. And it made such an impact in the kingdom of God.
Mm.
It was just something. And I'm sure even the people that was there just to hear her testimony was, again, touching. And I'm sure 50 years from now, somebody might give a testimony of how just hearing her testify, of how she witnessed to this couple, and they've made such an impact. Very wholesome people, God-fearing, you know, humble people. Mm. It was just something to see. It affected me, and I'm sure it'll take me a long way. But I just want y'all to know that we got a real fired up.
Praise the Lord.
A witness here. Praise the Lord.
Amen. I got another hand in the back there. Praise the Lord.
God bless you, saints.
Amen.
Just asking prayer for one of my friends. He was diagnosed with a condition that took his brother's life three months ago. So he's a little discouraged, but trying to encourage him and trusting that he will overcome by God's grace.
Amen. Okay, do we have any other hands? All right. Okay, we will take these requests to the Lord. Let's just bow our heads. Father, we're priests unto our God. And as priests, we have the opportunity to stand in the gap on behalf of others. We have some wonderful testimonies that we heard here tonight, which when we hear the testimonies, we know that you are a God that is still moving in our midst. You freed our precious Brother Solomon from that spirit of depression. You allowed Brother Marquise to find his telephone. You have brought healing to Sister Cobb. And Lord, Sister Virginia shared how she was able to just hear Sister Brown testify and how her life has been the catalyst for other lives being changed. And I was just reminded of how the prophet told us that when we get to the other side, we'll see people that have made it, and we'll see a halo hanging over those people's heads. And when we see the halo hanging over their heads, we would know that we had something to do with them receiving eternal life. So, Lord, we thank you for the just using Sister Brown's life and using her as a witness for your kingdom, and just her having the opportunity just to share with amongst a number of others, oh God, and who knows where that will go. But we just thank you for giving her that opportunity. God, we have Brother Joseph and Brother Simba who have expressed needs. Brother Joseph has a neighbor whose granddaughter is being bullied, and this is a horrible spirit that is in the land. Oftentimes young people go through this and don't know how to handle the weight of it. God, we ask that you would give her strength to endure, that you would give her deliverance. I know she desires to be homeschooled, and sometimes the kids don't realize the great sacrifice that parents have to go through in order for their children to be homeschooled. And it's not easy. They have to give up different amenities in life in order to be able to support those children being home. And so some parents are just not able to cross that threshold. So God, we're asked that you would just intervene on behalf of this young lady, that you would give her a reprieve there in the school, that the Spirit of the Lord would go before her, and just give her peace that passeth all understanding. May it guide and guard her heart and her mind while she's there. Give her liberty from this spirit of bullying. Father, we also want to pray for Brother Simba's friend. You know where he is. You know, God, exactly what he's going through, to know that what he's been diagnosed with is something that his brother has passed from just 3 months ago. And God, I can imagine how the doubt might settle in upon a man like that. But Father, you told us that you sent your word to heal. Hallelujah. So God, this young man, you know his name, you know his condition, and in between him and his condition, we place the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that you were wounded for his transgressions, that you were bruised for his iniquities. The chastisement of his peace is upon you, and with your stripes we declare healing over this young man. And Father, if he does not know you in the pardoning of sin, we pray that this will be an opportunity for him to come to know you as Lord and as Savior. And God, we understand that the same blood that was shed at Calvary that brought us salvation is the same blood that brings us healing. And we apply the same faith to both our salvation and to our healing. So God, may he come to know you through this. May he come closer to you. And we ask that you, God, would just get glory out of the situation. Lord, you know all the other unspoken requests that might have been in the room tonight. We ask that you, Lord Jesus, would just minister to the needs of the people. Continue to touch Sister Dixon. Lord, as she recovers, pray that you just give her strength, oh God, and raise her up. She would be able to get back to doing the things that she normally does, God, is our prayer. We ask, Father, that you would look upon the saints as we leave here tonight, but as we prepare to come back to the house of the Lord on Sunday. Lord, our precious brother Troy will be standing behind the sacred desk, and we ask that you would anoint him afresh, oh God. Give him the words from heaven to speak, Father, to the hearts of the people. God, we want you to be glorified and magnified in all that is done in this place. We thank you, we love you, we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. So as I said, I'll be headed to a wedding over the weekend. I'll kind of be coming back into town and slipping right back out again for a, actually last year I came in second place in a golf tournament amongst a bunch of message brothers up in South Carolina, and I got invited to come back, defend my trophy. And, I'm slipping up there to the tournament, but while I'm there, I'll be preaching for Brother Armstrong while I'm there, so keep me in prayer for that. That'll be a Friday night that I'll be there, but I'll be back home on Saturday. I come back home Saturday morning, and I'm looking forward to being back in service, amen, on Sunday. So, but keep us in prayer. We'll be moving around a little bit over the next couple weeks. A lot of things on the plate, but nonetheless, we trust that God will get all the glory. Amen. All right. Brothers will come at this time to dismiss us. And Sunday morning, look forward to seeing everyone at 10:30. Amen. For service. God bless you. God bless you. Clock for prayer. 9 o'clock for prayer.